Welcome to Off the Record with Paul Hodes here on WKXL AM and FM, streamed live over the internet, coming to you today from our fabulous studios deep beneath the cool spring earth on Reddington Road in Concord, New Hampshire. And this broadcast is brought to you by the Birches at Concord, New Hampshire's first assisted living community for seniors, designed specifically for individuals living with dementia, Alzheimer's, and other forms of memory impairment. Please join a tour and celebrate life at the Birches. Call 224-9111. And Off the Record is powered by Revision Energy. For the past 9 years, Revision's team of local solar professionals has been putting sunshine to work for thousands of Granite State families and businesses looking to save money and help save the planet for our kids. Visit revisionenergy.com to schedule a free consultation. That's revisionenergy.com. What can sunshine do for you? Well, what a week in the sports of politics it has been. I'm joined by Chris Ryan, who knows everything about news and sports. And Chris Ryansky, welcome to this segmentsky of Off the Record with Foreign Minister Lavrov, with President Trumpeltinsky, with the Ambassador Chris Kalafki, all the Russians in the White House. And what happens? Our friend Donald Trumpeltinsky is a sharing, caring individual, and he shares and cares with us. And we want to welcome you today to this broadcast Off the Record.
It's okay to be here. I like your hat.
I like your hat very much, Key. My hat is a good hat. It is a large made from bears with big, big flaps that come down. So when Trumpeltinsky shares with us what we should not be hearing, the flaps come down over the ears. It is like, it is Soviet era technology, but works key for those Oval Office meetings.
It's a throwback. That's how Khrushchev used to have one of those.
It's a throwback, a slight throwback, but very effective. I did not hear Donald Trumpeltinsky tell us classified information. No. Why? Because I had flapskis over the ears. What can I tell you? You know, this is now the state of Russian-U.S. relations. They seem to be getting a lot better. I mean, the day after Donald Trump fires Jim Comey, he's got a White House Oval Office grip and grin with Foreign Minister Lavrov. No U.S. press are involved, because who wants the press in when you're about to share classified secrets from an ally who you haven't told you're about to share their classified secrets? But no, because Donald Trump is allowed to do this under the law, ladies and gentlemen. What he did is perfectly legal, because if he talks about classified information, it's automatically unclassified, and he has the right to do that. So he's claiming it's perfectly legal, he has the right to do it, and he's right. I have to give it to Donald Trump on this one. Ladies and gentlemen, you are right. It's legal for the president to share classified information with the Russians.
I remember back to a time where we were all kind of upset that Trump wasn't taking his classified intelligence briefing seriously, wasn't showing up, and I think that's suddenly a time that we long for once again.
Those were the days, my friend. I thought they'd never end, but they did, and now it's time to share classified information. Foreign Minister Lavrov, hello, I am your Siberian candidate, Donald Trumpeltinsky. You saw the movie Manchurian Candidate, in which a chip was implanted and then they controlled the candidate. Well, you controlled the candidate, but your chips were poker chips, money chips. You have the Siberian candidate who you controlled with money, many years of loans and gifts from the Russians to the Trump enterprises have finally paid off. I'm now in office. I'm speaking Russian accent because, really, I am Siberian candidate.
Yeah, so that's, I mean, again, there's long been a need for a thorough, independent investigation into why Donald Trump acts the way he does in regards to Russia. Because there, you know, is our new controversy is pretty much on a weekly basis. But the consistency amongst all of these is that Russia is somehow involved. And you take Jim Comey as an example. First, the White House reaction is that Comey was let go because Donald Trump was not pleased with his performance, how he handled the Hillary Clinton email investigation. And then Trump comes out in the Lester Holt interview and says, I fired him because I was tired of the Russia investigation. I thought there was too much of a focus on that. So there's Russia again. The day after he fires Comey, he is disclosing highly classified information with the Russians. And, you know, what's happening here is that there is a number of directions that Congress can go in regards to potentially removing Donald Trump for as president. And there may not have been really anything in Silo A, regardless of, you know, the jokes and so forth. We still don't know what information exists in regards to Donald Trump and his relationship with Russia. But in covering up or trying to do away with Silo A, he has now created Silo B, obstruction of justice in regards to Jim Comey, in his firing, and Silo C, which is,
let's not forget, witness intimidation
along with tweet,
along with obstruction of justice, right, goes witness intimidation,
right. And now Silo C is this person fit to be president? Should they be able to access this classified information? Because as you mentioned before, there is no doubt about the fact that the president can disclose the information, has the right to do so. The question that Congress has to ask now, and in particular with what they had to say about Hillary Clinton and her emails, such as Paul Ryan and others who said she wasn't fit. If she was elected president, she should not be able to access classified information because of the reckless nature in which she conducted herself in setting up the private server. The question now begs for those individuals. Well, Donald Trump has cut out the middleman. There is no server. There's no recklessness in setting up a server that could potentially be hacked. Donald Trump is actually giving out classified information and admitting to that highly classified information to a nation which I think most individuals in Congress and our country would describe as being adversarial to our interests.
Well, but he's allowed. And because he's Donald Trump, he'll do anything he's allowed, and he'll do a lot that he's not allowed. You know, so on the one hand, we've got this legal right of the president to immediately classify information. On the other hand, the manner in which this happened clearly caught everybody, including his people in the White House, totally off guard. We know that he never, that the information that he apparently revealed came from a close ally. It was about ISIS and operations and potential plots involving laptops on airlines. Mm-hmm. The ally and the United States intelligence services considered this information so sensitive that not many people in the government knew about it, and it was deliberately kept, if you will, very close to the vest.
And he also disclosed what our reaction was going to be and how TSA was going to react. Travel was going to be cut off to Washington, D.C. and other cities. Go ahead.
So the White House scramble is in scramble mode, as they have been continually since Trump was inaugurated, one scramble after another to try to backtrack, fill in, backfill, justify, deny, do whatever they could to explain what happened. That's the White House. They are constantly on the defensive and scrambling because the president, who is unfit, by the way, does not proceed in any way that will help the normal functioning of our government. I mean, it is one thing for Trump supporters to say we love the fact that he's giving the middle finger to the establishment. He's taking on all the politicians. He's doing it his way. It's like the Frank Sinatra version. I did it my way.
Which is what he danced to.
That's
at,
right. He danced. I did it my way. Well, it's one thing to do it. It's one thing to do it my way, and it's another thing to have a totally out of control executive branch and an administration that doesn't know what it's doing and doesn't communicate. And that it was his style when he was a solo proprietor of this vast bankrupt empire, a vast bankrupt real estate empire powered by Russian money, Russian mobsters, and Russian loans and gifts. But now he's in the White House, and it just doesn't work. One of the things that some Republicans are beginning to be concerned about is his fitness for office. I mean, you've got reactions from Senator Corker. You've got reactions from other Republicans. And at some point, this all becomes so toxic that given the elections that are coming up in 2018, given that Democrats will tie every Republican candidate to Trump, every single one, there won't be a single candidate for office at whether it's local, state, or federal level who won't have the name Trump in front of their name in every mail piece, advertisement, television ad, radio ad, newspaper ad, you name it. It's all going to be, for example, with our governor. It'll be a Trump Sununu administration. He'll be tied to Trump for everything he does in following the Trump style. For example, look at the appointments. You can see an out-of-control White House appointing people who are unfit, unqualified, and inexperienced. And that same complaint is fair to be lodged against Governor Sununu, and it's going to be the Trump Sununu style of appointment. So Trump is leading the Republicans down a very, very deep, dark rabbit hole. And he seems to be doing it flagrantly. He seems to be doing it without regard for the security of the United States, because whether or not you want better relationship with Russia, whether or not and however it happened that Trump got to the White House with Russia's help, they are still an adversary. They are, their interests and ours do not mesh in many places. And the idea of a president of the United States, whether right or wrong, incoherently, without planning, without forethought, sharing classified information which could jeopardize an ally, jeopardize sources of information, jeopardize the important intelligence collection that goes into battling this scourge of terrorism around the world, is absolutely nuts. And what it does is it leaves everybody, not just in Washington, but in the country and the world, reeling with uncertainty about where America is, what America stands for. How can our allies rely on America when the president, the leader of the United States, will just offhandedly let classified information go? What is there to count on in the world if you can't count on the president of the United States to be a rational, coherent human being? And that's because he is Siberian candidate, paid for, bought for, colluded by Russia, and now they have their Siberian candidate in Oval Office. In Oval Office meeting with Comrade Lavrov, sharing and caring with Comrade Lavrov the day after Jim Comey, bad guy, bad hombre, is let go. This
showboat.
Showboat, he's showboat. Never mind my Goldsky apartment. Never mind my 21 days of golf since being president. I not even spend Mother's Day with little Bannon and Melania. I go play golf instead. But I should have invited Comrade Lavrov to golf course instead. Come to Oval Office for grip and grin, and I share information. It's absolutely nuts. I mean, I know I'm joking about it because I like to do the Russian accent. I finally got a place where I can actually make the Russian accent work. But I never wanted it. Okay, folks? I never wanted my Russian accent to have a place to work. It's absolutely nuts. He's unfit, and every day the Republicans have to be squirming. They gotta be.
I mean, this is not anything new. I mean, these are things that we've been talking about for well over a year now, ever since Donald Trump emerged as a candidate for president. And, you know, everything is just kind of playing out now. And that is, you know, at the forefront of a lot of individuals' minds. But, I mean, for Republicans, they've been doing this dance for a long time. What's interesting is that now that he is president, there is much less of a willingness to stand up to Donald Trump than there was previous. And that is exactly wrong. When an individual has the power, when an individual is actually creating threats to our nation via their behavior, then that is the exact time that you should be exuding your influence, as opposed to, you know, just firing shots in the dark when candidate Trump would say or do something or there'd be a new revelation.
So we shall see, folks, what happens next in the Siberian White House. Off the Record is brought to you today by the Birches at Concord, New Hampshire's first assisted living community for seniors, designed specifically for individuals living with dementia, Alzheimer's, or other forms of memory impairment. Please join a tour and celebrate life at the Birches. Call 224-9111. And we're powered by Revision Energy. For the past 9 years, Revision's team of local solar professionals has been putting sunshine to work for thousands of Granite State families and businesses looking to save money and help save the planet for our kids. Visit revisionenergy.com to schedule a free consultation. That's revisionenergy.com. What can sunshine do for you? Don't go away. We'll be right back with more Off the Record here on WKXL AM and FM. Welcome back. It's Off the Record with Paul Hodes here on WKXL AM and FM, streaming live over the internet and archived at ConcordNewsRadio.com. This segment of Off the Record is brought to you by the Birches at Concord, New Hampshire's first assisted living community for seniors, designed specifically for individuals living with dementia, Alzheimer's, or other forms of memory impairment. Please join a tour and celebrate life at the Birches. Call 224-9111. And we are very proud to say that Off the Record is powered by Revision Energy. For the past 9 years, Revision's team of local solar professionals has been putting sunshine to work for thousands of Granite State families and businesses looking to save money and help save the planet for our kids. Visit revisionenergy.com to schedule a free consultation. That's revisionenergy.com. What can sunshine do for you? And speaking of sunshine, we're very happy to welcome, as our guest, Mr. Sunshine, Dan Weeks. Welcome to Off the Record, Dan.
Thank you for having me back. It's great to be here, Paul.
That's pretty cute calling you Mr. Sunshine. How are things
going?
We'll
see if my wife agrees, yeah, but I don't mind it.
you've got two little babies. They think you walk on water and that you're Mr. Sunshine, and I know your wife thinks you're Sunshine. A lot of people do. You're a well-liked guy, and you've got a new gig you're working for, as it happens, Revision Energy, a leading solar company here in New Hampshire. And you've been a frequent guest on the show talking about energy issues, about environmental issues, about voting issues, and other important matters that really are all about how we move forward with a sustainable democracy. So I'm glad to have you. And one of the I wanted to start by talking about the current landscape. Now, we're recording this prior to broadcast, so we may not know everything in terms of results of some of what we'll talk about. But let's talk a little bit about what's going on in New Hampshire for renewable, sustainable energy. The legislature is in session. There are committees meeting. There are votes being taken. The PUC is working. What's the landscape?
A lot going on. And as the sun finally starts shining properly this week, it's a good time to talk about the future of renewable energy. So I'm sorry to say New Hampshire is many years behind our neighboring states in getting on the clean energy bandwagon. If you go down to Mass, you see dozens and dozens of solar farms. They just announced what will be the largest offshore wind project in the United States. The state of Massachusetts is requiring its utilities to procure more of their energy from offshore wind. There's a lot of stuff happening around us, and New Hampshire has been behind the curve, which has meant losing out on some of the economic benefits associated with this burgeoning industry, clean energy. But the next couple of weeks will be pretty pivotal. So as we're sitting in the studio today, the House Energy and Technology and Science Committee is voting on SB 129. This bill would deal with both biomass, wood industry in New Hampshire as a form of heating and power generation, as well as solar. And it proposes to do something which is really not very radical at all, but to raise the RPS, the Renewable Portfolio Standard, what the utilities are required to procure, where their energy is supposed to come from. It would raise the solar portion of that from 0.3%, less than a third of 1% of the total energy that powers the grid, from 0.3% to 1%. That's what SB 129 proposed.
You know, let me just put that in a national perspective for a moment. First, I'll tell you that when I was in Congress, I authored and passed the first federal tax credit for heating with wood. It was the very first time biomass had, I think, a strong advocate in Congress, and we were successful in really helping to set that. But when you talk about the renewable portfolio standard, the requirement that government puts in to help protect citizens and the environment, pretty good thing for government to do. I keep thinking about the headlines from across the pond in places like Germany and Scandinavia and the Netherlands and other places. If I'm not mistaken, there are countries that are going gangbusters and where huge percentages of their national electricity and power needs are being met by renewables.
Let me get specific. This is an important point because here in the U.S., we like to be on the cutting edge. We like to be where the future's going. But last year, Germany, one of the top five industrialized economies in the world, on a particularly sunny and windy day, met 100% of its electric needs from wind and solar. Clean renewables.
Germany is a technology giant. I mean, their technology is legendary. Their engineering is legendary. They're recognized as the leaders in Europe as a nation. And you mean to tell me that 100% on this day was met? 100% of their electricity needs as a country was met?
Wind and solar, all the way. And we could do the same. You know, the plain states in the U.S. have been called the Saudi Arabia of wind. Frankly, the Gulf of Maine is the same, with the potential to generate offshore wind that amounts to six times the total energy consumption in the six New England states, according to a Department of Energy study. We have the resources, not to mention the fact that in the half hour of this that we're talking here on the air, we will have enough sunshine to power the world for half a year. In 1 hour, we get enough sunshine to power the world for a year. That's the intensity of the resources that we have all around us. But instead, unfortunately, New Hampshire has been sending $6 billion of our hard-earned dollars out of state every year. That's $11,500 per household out of state to import fossil fuels, dirty, non-renewable sources of energy into our state when we have the power all around us.
What's the holdup from the standpoint of the political will to harness the technology and resources that we have to do what we need to do? I mean, especially here in New Hampshire, where attracting good businesses and keeping good businesses is critical. And our governor has said that it's a priority for him. So he said that he went out and talked to a lot of businesses. But the high cost of energy in New Hampshire is one of the chief reasons that businesses cite for having issues with moving here and problems staying here because our energy costs are so high. When we send $6 billion overseas for dirty fossil fuels, and we could, as a state, be a leader in innovation technology and use the resources that are all around us to really be cutting edge, why can't we? And what are the House, what's the House and Senate and the PUC doing?
So getting back to this SB 129, this is the best chance currently before the legislature to take a step, a small step, but still a step forward on raising that renewable portfolio standard, what the utilities have to source from clean energy, solar in this case, from 0.3% to 1%. Unfortunately, the leadership in the House has said they want to take it out entirely. We think there might be a compromise in the works where they raise it not all the way to 1%, but part way. It's still a tiny slice of the pie. But, you know, we've talked about these issues in the past. What is preventing our country from taking some really common sense solutions to look out for our economy, for the future, for our kids? And unfortunately, as you well know, we have a political system that's pretty damn dependent on private money. And over the years, we've seen the incumbent energy industries, the fossil fuel industries like oil and gas and coal, providing many, many times as much money to fund campaigns and to lobby the government as the renewable sector is able to provide. Literally hundreds of millions of dollars each election cycle in campaign donations and lobbying expenditures. And that's all tracked at opensecrets.org. And so we have a political system that isn't really set up to meet the big challenges and is quite different from, for instance, Germany and other peer industrialized nations, which said long ago that we're not going to fund our money with our campaigns with money from big corporate interests, but rather through public funding, so the candidates are owned by all the people, not by special interests. And that's something that we just haven't been able to fix as yet, and we need to fix. But that's not to say that we can't take some positive steps in New Hampshire now. Just last week, I was out at a pretty sizable business in Hudson, biotech, looking to install solar. They've got a nice flat roof where they can put up a ton of solar arrays. And we project, based on a preliminary cash flow, that they will be able to save $750,000 in electricity costs over the next 25 years. That's the kind of savings that anybody, in their case, they consume a ton of energy, so the savings are large, but anyone with a bit of roof, a bit of land that has a clear view to the sun, the technology has evolved to a point where you can save real money. And businesses here in New Hampshire that are trying to grow and add more people to the workforce can save real money if we as a state create a policy environment where solar and other renewables can really play the role they have to play if we're going to be able to protect what we hold most dear.
So here in the state, if we take a look at House Bill 129, and we were to raise the renewable portfolio standard for the state of New Hampshire, that would commit the state of New Hampshire to a program of using the resources that we have more efficiently and adding those to the requirements about how we get our energy. What effect, if any, would raising the portfolio standard in the state have for, let's say, homeowners who are looking at investing in solar energy? And by the way, you know, it's fair to say that Revision and other solar companies have lots of different ways for people to power their homes. There's outright cash purchase, but there are also very attractive loan programs that make it really easy to get into solar these days. And the technology for the panels and the heat pumps that can power various parts of the energy components in the house have really improved very, very dramatically. Does the renewable portfolio standard change have any impact on a homeowner who's looking to get into solar?
Thanks for asking that. And by the way, I'm honored to sit here and very glad that the company that employs me sponsors local radio programs like this. But there are some 70 solar companies across the state, local companies employing New Hampshire people, supporting families like mine, that are doing business because of the growth and the improvements in the technology. So we are one of many doing this, what I believe is important work for our state. But to your question, how would the renewable portfolio standard increasing the share that is solar affect a homeowner? There are two ways that solar pays you back if you go solar on your roof or in your on your land. One is just by saving you money that you're otherwise sending to the utility. And we see a typical payback period of 6 or 7 years on a home system, after which you've got a couple decades of virtually free power. You pay for your connection to the grid to use the power lines as your kind of battery system when the sun isn't shining. So you save, number one, by not spending that money on electricity from the grid. But number two, for every kilowatt hour of electricity that you produce, and today's a sunny day, so at my home system, we should produce 30 or so kilowatt hours. You get a small credit because you are essentially a mini power plant, very mini in my home case, that is feeding clean energy into the grid for use by my neighbors, because on a sunny day like today, we'll produce several times what we will actually use in the home. Because we are a producer of clean energy, that goes toward the utilities, the required share that they have to procure in clean energy. And they pay what's called a mini power plant, a renewable energy certificate for every megawatt hour that I produce on my home system. And today in New Hampshire, you're reimbursed a pretty modest amount, $30 or so for each megawatt hour you produce. In the state of Massachusetts, not far south of here, it is several times that much in value. So as a homeowner generating clean power, you get these modest payments, these renewable energy certificate payments, or RECs, for each megawatt hour you produce. If we see the requirement under the Renewable Portfolio Standard increased under SB 129, the value of those certificates will also increase, because the utilities have to source more of their electricity from renewable sources. And that will create a strong incentive for homeowners, but more importantly for towns and cities and nonprofits that are trying to save our taxpayer money to install meaningful solar arrays.
This is Off the Record with Paul Hodes. We're talking to Dan Weeks of Revision Energy about solar energy and the landscape in New Hampshire. This segment of Off the Record brought to you by the Birches at Concord, New Hampshire's first assisted living community for seniors, designed specifically for individuals living with dementia, Alzheimer's, or other forms of memory impairment. Please join a tour and celebrate life at the Birches. Call 224-9111. Don't go away. We'll be back in a few moments with more from Dan Weeks here on Off the Record with Paul Hodes. Off the Record with Paul Hodes on WKXL AM and FM, streaming live over the internet, coming to you from our studios deep beneath the cool earth on Reddington Road in Concord, New Hampshire. This segment of Off the Record is brought to you by the Birches at Concord, New Hampshire's first assisted living community for seniors, designed specifically for individuals living with dementia, Alzheimer's, or other forms of memory impairment. Please join a tour and celebrate life at the Birches. Call 224-9111. And we are powered by Revision Energy. For the past 9 years, Revision's team of local solar professionals has been putting sunshine to work for thousands of Granite State families and businesses looking to save money and help save the planet for our kids. Visit revisionenergy.com to schedule a free consultation. That's revisionenergy.com. What can sunshine do for you? And we're back with Dan Weeks talking about the landscape in New Hampshire for renewable energy. We've been talking about House Bill 129 coming up for a vote about increasing our renewable portfolio standard here in the state. Dan, what else is going on the legislative calendar, including over at the PUC? What are they thinking about renewable energy?
Well, the Public Utilities Commission is set to hand down a ruling on an important docket dealing with net metering. And I know we've gotten a little technical in this show, but it's important to any citizen who's interested in energy alternatives. Real quick, for those who don't know, net metering is what you get when you, as a mini power plant with some solar panels on your roof or in your yard, what you get when you generate extra solar power, sending it up to the grid. Currently, under the net metering arrangement, and this will be considered, and we'll have a new ruling from the Public Utilities Commission, but currently, for every kilowatt hour of electricity that I produce, that I send up into the grid, I get a credit so that I can draw the same amount back down when I need it, on a rainy day or at night. And the reason that this setup has been in place, other states give you, in fact, more than one credit to incentivize the production of more solar power. But here in New Hampshire, it's one-to-one, which seems rather fair. The reason this is in place is because as somebody producing solar power, I benefit from having my connection to the grid and being able to draw that power back when I need it. However, I provide a benefit to the grid, something that is sometimes misconstrued, but because demand on the grid, total electricity demand, is typically highest at the times when solar generation is highest. Think of a hot summer day in July or August when everybody's using their ACs, which are typically powered by electric. So at those moments, demand on the grid is highest, but solar generation is also highest. And so by providing a bit of extra solar power to the grid, when thousands of homes do this together and businesses on top of that, we create a need for less new power plants. So we've got certain periods in the year when the utilities have spikes in demand beyond the normal curves of consumption. And for those periods, because they never want to have to turn the lights out because of a lack of power generation, there are extra power plants, which are often the most polluting, the least efficient, the most costly to run or to build if you have to build extra ones, because Lord knows it costs a lot of money to build a new power plant. By removing the need for extra generation to meet those few periods in the year of peak demand through the proliferation of distributed energy generation, small-scale solar and the like, we're adding value to the grid. And that has been the basic point of contention. What is the value of a unit of electricity from a home solar system, and how should it be reimbursed? Sorry, this is a mouthful, but what the PUC will decide is what that reimbursement rate will be going forward. Whether folks who've got some solar on their roof will get a full credit for every unit of electricity they generate, which they can use on that rainy day, or whether they'll get only a partial credit. And if the value of those credits comes down, that will make it less affordable for folks who want to go green and do the right thing for their kids. And so we, the solar industry, environmental organizations, a lot of folks came together to urge the PUC to not reduce the value of these net metering. But there's been a lot of pressure brought to bear on them by the utilities, who would rather not see anything change because they earn money by generating power, not just by distributing it. And the PUC, hard to say what they will do, but June 2nd, we expect an important ruling which will affect the future of this industry for New Hampshire.
You know, you're calling a house, a mini power plant, and that whole concept really has sparked my thinking. Because I've been talking about solar and renewable energy for a long time. We've been talking about the issues around the importance of renewable and sustainable energy moving us forward for all the reasons we can talk about. And I had been thinking about this idea of generating power locally, as opposed to from some huge central source. But calling a house a mini power plant really, really gets me, because here's the contrast that comes to mind. It's pretty simple. I think about a huge tanker filled with fossil fuel, let's say oil from Saudi Arabia, and it gets loaded up and travels across the ocean with these huge containers filled with this volatile and toxic substance, sometimes spilling across the oceans as it travels, certainly using a lot of fossil fuel to make the journey itself. And then that fuel gets dumped in a central depository somewhere along our seacoast. Again, in the whole process, the fossil fuel is subject to leaks because the pipes leak. I mean, pipes leak. They're joined together and they leak. So it gets dumped into some central place, and then either gets piped out to other power plants, or it gets loaded on trucks, which use fossil fuel to carry it to businesses and homes. I mean, that's the picture. That's been the picture since the beginning of the oil age, frankly, and the mechanized oil age that has powered us, but also polluted us. It's caused, massive global warming, climate change. that is causing us trillions of dollars. And this model of energy production and distribution that is all about fossil fuels has very, very deep roots with very, very rich, powerful interests, whether it's the Koch brothers or the large fossil fuel companies. They are deeply invested in the current dirty way of doing things. And if you sort of now take that mental picture and just wipe it out, and you have instead a picture of a home as a mini power production plant powered by solar panels on its roof. The solar panels don't leak. There is no shipping oil to the house to power that house. The electricity produced by the solar panels is used right where it sits to heat hot water, because now there are, for example, hot water heaters powered by heat pumps, which are run by the electricity, so you get free hot water. You've got radiator and cooling systems, which are also heat pumps, in which there is an exchange of the temperature, which creates either heat or air conditioning, and it's all being powered off your roof. And what you don't use, you're sending back to the electric grid. Now, the electric grid, and a lot of people have heard a lot of things about the electric grid, how it needs to be updated, whether or not the system of wires and grid that we see is really up to what we need it to be up to. But what we have, even as it sits, is a large battery, essentially. That is a shared battery with everybody who's getting their electricity, and each mini power plant, for what it doesn't use, is using the grid as a battery and getting credit for that in the cost for those days, as you say, when the sun isn't shining, and we need to draw from what we've put into the battery. This is Off the Record with Paul Hodes here on WKXL-AM and FM. We've been talking to Dan Weeks of Revision Energy about the landscape in New Hampshire for renewable, sustainable energy. And this segment of Off the Record has been brought to you by the Birches at Concord, New Hampshire's first assisted living community for seniors, designed specifically for individuals living with dementia, Alzheimer's, or other forms of memory impairment. Please join a tour and celebrate life at the Birches. Call 224-9111. Folks, don't go away. We'll be back momentarily to wrap up. Welcome back to Off the Record with Paul Hodes here on WKXL AM and FM, streaming live over the internet. This segment of Off the Record is brought to you by the Birches at Concord, New Hampshire's first assisted living community for seniors, designed specifically for individuals living with dementia, Alzheimer's, or other forms of memory impairment. Please join a tour and celebrate life at the Birches. Call 224-9111, and we're powered by Revision Energy. For the past 9 years, Revision's team of local solar professionals has been putting sunshine to work for thousands of Granite State families and businesses looking to save money and help save the planet for our kids. Visit revisionenergy.com to schedule a free consultation. That's revisionenergy.com. What can sunshine do for you? Well, we brought a little bit of sunshine to Off the Record today with the Siberian White House, the meeting of Donald Trump and Foreign Minister Lavrov following Trump's firing of James Comey, at which he revealed classified state secrets to the Russians, later saying he wanted to share with the Russians. And we talked with Dan Weeks of Revision Energy about the power of sunshine and how we can all make our homes and businesses mini power plants to save money, create jobs, and save the planet. This has been Off the Record with Paul Hodes on WKXL AM and FM. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks to our great sponsors. We'll be back next week with more Off the Record on WKXL AM and FM.